Morning, everybody, even those I can't see. About 10 years ago, Diane and I joined Gary and Gwyn's small group. And we've come to know Gary and Gwyn and the rest of the small group really well, and we have a deep relationship there. When I met Gary for the first time, I noticed his arm was quite rippled, and I thought maybe he'd been to the gym and been doing some exercises. But after a while, we talked about it, and I discovered, of course, what I already knew, that dialysis was very much a part of Gary's life. And I thought we might chat about that just a little bit this morning and build our conversation on those ideas. So I've invited Gary to come and talk to us. What happened to get all this going?
Well, I'm sorry, it's a bit of a long story.
Yeah, go for it.
Back in 2007, Gwyn and I shifted to Bendigo because Gwyn was invited to be part of the team at Bendigo Baps. And not long after we'd settled in there, I discovered that Bendigo Baps were sending a team to Central Australia to work on an Aboriginal community, to do some repairs and maintenance and all that kind of thing. A bit of a work party. And I thought, oh, that'll be good. I'll go along on that. However, I discovered that before you could go, you had to have a medical clearance. So we had to find a doctor because we hadn't found one at this stage. And I went along to a doctor's surgery and asked to have a medical check to make sure I could go on this trip. The doctor checked me over and said, yep, you're fine. You can go, signed the form and all of that. And then she said, however, because you're a new patient, I'm going to send you off to have some blood tests. So we've got a bit of a record of, you know, your complete physical and state anyway. So that was on a Wednesday. So I had the blood test and went home, and I thought, that's good, I'm off to Central Australia, this will be great. On Friday, my phone rang, and it was a doctor's surgery. And the lady on the end of the phone said, the doctor would like to see you. And my immediate thought was, yes, I know what's going on, my cholesterol levels are high again. We're going to have to do something about that. And I said, okay, I'll make an appointment. And she said, no, the doctor wants to see you now. Are you feeling all right? And that's all she said. And I thought, goodness me, that's not sounding good. So I jumped in the car and went back to the doctor's surgery. And the doctor said, look, you've got a problem. Your kidneys are not working very well. And your potassium levels are so high, you could drop dead from a heart attack any minute. Oh, thank you. This was news to me because I was feeling okay. Anyway, she then said, I've rung a kidney specialist in Bendigo, and the long weekend in June, the Queen's birthday back then. It was Queen's birthday. So this was Friday. Nothing's open until the Tuesday. And she said, on Tuesday, you've got to go and see the kidney specialist. Oh, okay. So on the Tuesday, I went along to the kidney specialist. And he said, yes, look, your kidneys are functioning at 19%. That's okay, but it's not good, because they might be deteriorating quickly like that. And if that's so, I'm going to arrange to send you to Melbourne to have a fistula put in your arm. And this is the wriggly bit that John was talking about that he'd noticed. And I'll just explain a fistula later if you want to know about it. But that's so they can plug needles into your arm to suck blood out and put it back in and clean it in the meantime, so that when your kidneys do fail, they can still process your system.
So what did they recommend in the end?
Well, I had that fistula put in the October of that year.
Yeah.
And that was in 2007. And my kidneys didn't fail until 2018, would you believe?
Yeah. So you've got all this stuff going on, but you didn't know.
Didn't know about it. Not a clue.
No. Until somebody pointed it out.
That's right. Yeah, had to be pointed out.
Well, tell us what you have to do in setting up the dialysis process.
Okay. I don't use my fistula normally. I have a different system of dialyzing. I have a plastic tube that comes out of my abdomen, and there's a cap on the end of that. And I hook, every night, I hook that up to a machine that pumps sugar solution into my tummy area. And that's why I've always got a big tummy. I've got 2 litres of fluid sitting in there. And
oh, I haven't.
Well, I've got it there. That's my excuse anyway. And the machine pumps this fluid through, and overnight this happens, and I've got 5, 10, 13... I've got about 15 litres of fluid that go through there every night.
Every night?
In and out.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's 9 hours every night.
So what does it actually do?
Well, it filters your blood. Your kidneys do lots of things, actually, but the main thing is it's a filter, and it filters out the toxins in your bloodstream, and it gets rid of them. My kidneys don't do that anymore, so it has to be done by a machine.
Yeah. So does it replace anything good in there?
No.
It takes out the rubbish.
It takes out the rubbish, basically, and it misses quite a lot of other things that need to be done.
How fastidious do you need to be?
Sorry?
How fastidious do you need to be?
Fastidious? Oh, look.
In the process, I mean.
You do. Infection is the biggest problem I can have. And I have to have very, very clean hands every time I go through this process. So you've got to wash your hands twice in different solutions, and then a third one in the normal alcoholic hand rub stuff.
Mm.
I've got to wear a mask so I'm not breathing germs on things.
Mm.
And the area I'm working in has to be as sterile as possible. So no open windows, no air conditioning running, doors shut in the bathroom so that it's as clean as I can get it.
So
and
you
benches and everything sanitised and all that kind
of
thing.
How long does this go for?
Oh, the setting up takes me about 45 minutes every day.
And the process?
Sorry?
The process?
The process, well, because I'm doing this for 7 years now, and over time your peritoneum, which does the work, gradually breaks down and is not as good at it as it was. So now I have to do a manual exchange of fluids at 4:30 in the afternoon and then 9 hours overnight.
9 hours.
Mm.
You must have a love-hate relationship with this machine.
You're right. but it's very, very important that I do it.
And what actually does the work then? Is it your body that does the work or...?
Yes, my body does the work. Your peritoneum is the lining that embraces all your organs.
So it has to work in tandem with the machine?
Yes, the machine just pumps the fluid in there
right. And
pumps it out again.
Yeah.
It's the peritoneum that does the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the two working together.
Sorry?
It's the two working together.
Oh, yeah, you can't do one without the other. Oh, you can. I can do it manually, but that's another process and it's longer.
Do you still have to have medical checkups along the way?
Yes. Every 4 months I go to the hospital and they check you over and check your figures on how effective it all is. Yes.
So what would happen if you decided just to take a break?
I can take a break for one day, perhaps. I can get away with that. But every time you don't do it, the toxins build up in
just
your
build
body.
Up. Yeah.
And those toxins eventually kill you. Mm. So I've got a window of about 2 weeks. If I stop for 2 weeks, I'm gone.
Mm.
Yep.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it? Incredible. Thank you, Gary.
All right. Thank you.
Well, you might be asking yourself, what in the world is he going to talk about? But I want to say to you that dialysis is necessary. Dialysis is necessary when the kidneys aren't working properly and the body requires assistance. When the spiritual body isn't operating properly, it depends on assistance. In fact, it'd be fair to say that the spiritual body design doesn't operate on its own. It actually operates on the basis of being created in relationship. Can we turn it down? I'm beginning to scare myself. Just a little. Thank you. I want to say to you this morning that prayer is the dialysis of the soul. Prayer is the dialysis of the soul. It's a conversation of intimate relations with the master of my soul. It's this conversation that, as Gary has discovered, I will need for the rest of my existence. Why? Because I was made that way. What I'd like to do is just explore some ideas and ask us, in terms of prayer, the same questions I asked Gary. The first one is this: what happened to set all this going? I mean, he didn't know that he had it for years. It just got worse and worse, and he coped with it, and he coped with it, and he kind of lived in the shadowlands, believing and thinking that everything was going as it should go, where it should go, how it should go. And I want to suggest to you that in terms of prayer, most of us coast. In prayer, most of us live in the shadowlands, believing we're on track. And for years, Gary went on without knowing until somebody said, think about this, your body is not doing what it's supposed to do. The truth is we've all set up habits. Most of us set up habits after COVID, which take us about 12 weeks to get into and be committed to. We did that after COVID. And we assume that those habits are what's needed. And so when we get to prayer, it's the kind of conversation with God when I feel like I want to do it, randomly organised. It's the conversation with God every now and then, or when something specific comes up, but not the dialysis of the soul. And we live in the shadowlands. We pray randomly. When we're organised, we pray organised, but most of the time we pray when we remember. Now, I want to say to you that we need a reset when we recognise the significance of the issue, just as Gary had a complete reset. And I want to talk to you, not a theological argument. I don't want to give a passionate plea, but I want to plead with you. Would you please listen to what I have to say about the dialysis of the soul for you and for me? We need a reset when we discover the issue and the significance of the issue. Making a lifestyle change means a reset that it involves disciplined choices until the behaviour is a reset habit. And that applies to prayer for us. Secondly, I asked Gary, what was the issue? Well, let me ask that question about prayer. There is, for all of us, the build-up of life's debris in the soul. There is, for us, the notion of unforgiven issues, of rebellious thoughts and ideas, of other voices, past behaviours, sin. They become issues we carry with us, and they influence our thoughts, they influence our behaviours, they influence our behaviours and our understanding without us even knowing. We're living in the shadowlands. We let them all gather around us and tell us how to behave. There are other voices too, our own humanity. There are satanic voices, satanic interference. The burdens of the past build up, and self-focused ideas begin to be the basis of our existence. That's the issue. And in the dialysis of the soul, that which we need to embark upon to deal with those things, we need to say prayer. Cam talked about the sort of the armour of God. I want to say to you, there is an armour that, as well as the armour, there is a weapon that God has given to us in that armour, which is the supreme weapon of the universe. It's called prayer, sword of the Spirit. Why dialysis? Why prayer? Because prayer opens up the power of the Holy Spirit to join us in the cleansing process. It gives us the opportunity to do that in tandem with the Holy Spirit so that he's able to move through our system and point out, there's a spot that's a problem for you. Confess it to me and I'll forgive you, I'll heal you, I'll remove it, you'll be free. And he goes through our lives and bit by bit he removes the rubbish and the stuff that's been collected. And he sets us free. There are no backpack stuff to carry around. There's nothing of the past that controls us. This is prayer. It also opens up the power of the Holy Spirit to affect the cleansing process, setting us free for the positive stuff that he also seeks to bring into our souls. It enables us to engage with the power of God for future life. Let me say that again. It enables us to engage with the power of God for future life. It's actually how we were created to be. And I want to say to you this. There are two reasons I want to talk about this today. And when Andrew asked me to speak, he didn't know what I was going to speak on, and I didn't either. And I didn't know what Cam was going to speak on when he spoke on last week. Does my stuff follow on from Cam's? I tell you, it does. Actually, we were created to have this conversation going on with God all the time. We were created to do that. Our life was built on the notion that God is a part of who we are, and he talks with us and he walks with us and he keeps us and guides us and keeps us going. That's how we were made to be. Why dialysis? Because that's how you were constructed. That's what you need to do in prayer. Well, let's ask another question. The question I asked Gary was, tell us what you have to do in setting up the process. And he told us of all the machine. He's got a love-hate relationship with the machine, etc. What do we need to do to set up prayer in the dialysis process? And the first thing is, it's a choice each day. We actually need to choose. There is a reason discipline is a part of the disciple word. It's not just straightforward and she'll be right, Jack, I'll do what I like. We have to choose. We have to put in place a process that makes it possible for us to walk in tandem with the Lord by talking to him all the time. We experience the consequences either way. You don't do it, the shadowlands begin to loom. You don't know that, but they do. You learn how to walk in tandem with the breath of Jesus in your heart and in your mind, and you work in a different area altogether, and he chooses to do with you things that you would never have dreamt of. Things that you would never in your heart have chosen to do, he guides and he keeps and he walks. Why? Because we talk with him. We listen to him. We build our lives on him. We choose a location. I've got a mate who in England who goes and sits on the top of a hill when he prays. Nobody else up there. It's a decent view. He sits up there for a while and just talks to the Lord. Just talks to the Lord. What about? Well, whatever the conversation is between the two. You know that prayer is not a formal thing, don't you? You know that prayer is just like having a conversation with somebody you know, but who you love. And the difference in this kind of dialysis is that you don't wind up with a love-hate relationship with the machine. You wind up with a deepening, loving relationship with the master of your soul. Because he begins to flow through you in the blood system, I suppose, of your soul. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. And I know I've missed one there, but you know what they are. Fruit of the Spirit. What resources do you use? Well, whatever is useful. Diane and I have a habit of listening to Lectio 365 first thing in the morning. You will discover, if you want to put that on your phone, Lectio 365, that is brilliant. What resources do you use? Well, whatever is useful. What's the context of your prayer life? The context of your prayer life is as broad as it possibly can be. That's why this church has prayer times. That's why we pray after church. That's why we pray Thursday morning. That's why we pray. Now, the second thing that I wanted to say as my reason for speaking this morning, we stand on the verge of the future. We stand on the beginning of our new life. The last is gone. We stand on the edge of all that God has for us. Do you know what he's saying to us about the future? Not one person here has put their hand up. How are you going to find out? How can we expect Andrew and the team or our leadership team under Phil? How can we expect them to go charging off and hear what God is saying unless the family is not backing them in prayer? How can we expect them to do that? We have to be a responsible community of God's people who are down on our knees for the future. He shows us this church has a reasonable span, doesn't it? This church has a reasonable set of responsibilities. What is God doing? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain that build it. For us, the process is only the start. The intention is a profound relationship. The process keeps changing and growing. Our forms of prayer change. How we develop and we grow. One of the things I've tried to do over the last few years is to walk in such a way that I'm walking with Jesus all the time during the day and I'm conscious of his presence. So I talk to him all day. I fail sometimes. And of course, when I'm focused on something, I'm doing something else. But just walk with him. Just talk with him. Listen to him. Be guided by him. Be controlled by him. Love like him. It's all about prayer. So what's happening in the prayer process then? Well, we are opening up the intimacy of relationship with the one who created us. We're opening up the relationship with the one who created the universe. And we're allowing the Holy Spirit to take the lead and be our guide. What should I do here? There are moments over and over and over again in our lives where we don't realise that we're making a decision. What should I do here? What should I do there? How am I going? When I walk with him and I talk with him, when you walk with him and talk with him, guess who helps you make those decisions? Guess who guides you without you even hearing his voice? He speaks into all that you are. The appropriate time to pray? Well, I used to have a pastor in England who said he had a coffee machine that turned on at 5 o'clock in the morning, put him a cup of coffee and he was supposed to get up at 5 o'clock and pray. Well, I have to say to you, I'm not a morning person. I tend to get up at about when the alarm goes at 7. So that didn't kind of suit me. And I thought for a while I was guilty about that. And I suddenly realised, it doesn't matter when. Talk all the time. Just build a relationship. Just have this conversation going all the time. Appropriate time? Well, whenever it suits you. How long? Whatever is needed. This might be a 2-minute conversation with the Lord, this one. Lord, what am I supposed to do? Or it might be an hour where I sit in a study, put my chair back, have a cup of coffee, and just talk with him. And there are 20 minutes of silence where he talks. Healing the soul, creating a clean, interwoven soul identity, entity, creating it anew every day in me, realigning in spiritual health and vitality, recognises the right sense of direction. That's what's happening in the prayer process. That's what he invites us into. How long does this go on was the next question I asked Gary. Well, for Gary it's 9 hours plus 3/4 of an hour setting it up. What about prayer? An intimate relationship which is cultivated in all sorts of ways to be an ongoing behaviour. An intimate relationship. He knows things about me. He knows everything about me. And when I get with him long enough, I hear his voice saying, do you think that's good enough? Or I hear his voice saying, gently, gently, you did a good job there. Keeping short accounts is another possibility, isn't it? There are times when we all trip up, and I'm not suggesting we don't all pray. I'm just saying that this is an event like COVID that causes us to again think about prayer. What happens in prayer is it starts as a consistent conscious choosing until you and I get into the habit of doing what we do in prayer. It becomes a habitual living out in our lives as the Spirit of God sits with us and guides us through. How long does it go for? Oh, it goes all day. In fact, I say to the Lord when I go to sleep, Lord, would you look after my head and my heart so the evil one doesn't get a chance to make me dream dreams that are not nice? And he does. What actually does the work is the next question I ask Gary. For him, it's a machine. For us, it's not a machine. For us, it's who. Who does the work? The Holy Spirit. He is the go-between God between us and the Father. That's his nickname. And he speaks to the Father on our behalf. He brings the Father's news back to us. And it goes on and on. And there is this interacting, interweaving all the time with the Holy Spirit's guidance and input. And we get to the stage where we don't know what are our ideas and what are his. And that's how he intends it to be. This is what prayer, the pulsating part of our life. Do you have medical checkups as well? A regular personal audit, he said. A regular personal audit. Come under the authority of the scriptures, know what they teach us, know how they guide us, know how they keep us, measure ourselves against the scriptures, the help of mentors and friends and our community. That's why I thoroughly enjoy our Thursday morning prayer time, because there I sit with those who I know love the Lord and we can talk together about the things that are important for this church and this community. Join us there, won't you? It's only 7 o'clock. Last question, number 10. What would be the consequences if you decided to take a break? Have a guess. Back to the Shadowlands. You don't even know it. It just happens. Back to the Shadowlands. And the Shadowlands control how you think. And the Shadowlands control how you go. The Shadowlands control what you do. And life becomes what it was never meant to be. it becomes about you instead of about you and God. I want to plead with you today for two reasons. I've already told you what they are. Please, for your own life's sake, will you take the step into 2026 as a chance to look at what you're supposed to be doing? Changing prayer habits, building a life of prayer. And secondly, can you make sure that you get on Phil and Andrews and the teams they represent? Can you get on their backs with prayer? Otherwise, we will not know what God is doing. And it cannot be left to those two, those teams. It's us that need to learn to pray. Let me pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you for the truth of all of this stuff. And I didn't even refer to the scriptures. How much there is there of Jesus going out to pray? Early in the morning, Jesus got up and went out to pray. Late at night, he went up to pray on the mountain, spent all day, over and over again. He needed that to speak to the Father. How much more do we need that to speak to you? Teach us how. Give us the guts to do it and the strength to do it and the wisdom and the power to reassess our prayer lives and make them what they're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.